The prayer for this ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew from his hometown of Nazareth in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. He went ashore. He saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. This is the gospel of the Lord. I tend to not go anywhere without a snack in my bag, just in case. When we go to the Emirates to watch football, we have a small bag that is just the right size to fill full of snacks for us. And when we went on holiday last week, even for the train ride, I still had snacks in the bag ready for that train ride. Sometimes it's the healthy option of a banana, or the slightly more unhealthy but nicer option of a chocolate bar or something similar. The banana, to be fair, normally has a very nice day out and returns slightly more bruised than when it started the day. I'm known in our family for taking snacks with me wherever we go, and normally there's something for everyone in the bag. I told Laura about this sermon while we were away on holiday, and I did in fact do just this. We had breakfast at the hotel. I thought, oh, I'll grab a banana for the day. Marvellous, I'll eat that at some point. Did I? No. Had a lovely trip around the centre of Amsterdam for the day. Did about 15,000 steps and came home back to the hotel with us, still in my bag. I would have been one of those people to contribute, I think, to the collecting of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish in our gospel reading. I may well have been one of the ones that had heard Jesus was in the area, packed a snack for the journey at some point during the time away from the village, given that it was nowhere around to buy anything. Chances are, though, by the time I got to Jesus, I would have already eaten that snack. And when they came around collecting food, chances are it would have already gone. And in all honesty, would I have actually given up my snack in order to feed the wider group? Would I have snuck out the back of the crowd, eating on my bread roll as I went? And if I'd have made that choice, I would have A, not been hungry anymore, so that's a positive, but B, I would have missed out on the extravagant abundance of God and what he showed to those who were gathered there that day. And in order to understand this story that we heard, that many of us will have heard over and over again through the different versions that there are in all 4 Gospels, we actually need to go back even further in chapter 14 and hear the passage before that the lectionary misses out, and it gives us the context for our reading today. Chapter 14 begins with John the Baptist being arrested by Herod and John telling him what he's doing is not right. Herod wants to kill John but is afraid of the people. On Herod's birthday, there's a feast, a celebration, where he gave an oath to do whatever Herodias' daughter asked of him. Her response was that she wanted John's head on a platter. And so it happened. She took it to show her mother. Then John's disciples came, take his body to be buried, and found Jesus to tell him what has happened. Which is where our reading today begins. We find Jesus withdrawing to be by himself, to mourn the death of his cousin John, and maybe to be out of reach of those authorities who might want to do the same to him. But he is Jesus, and word spreads like wildfire to the towns around, and people come to find him, people who are sick and in need of healing. The word for compassion means to be moved from within, or words to that effect. Such was his compassion that being alone and mourning his friend took a second place to those who were in front of him. And so he cured the sick until the hour was late. For the 5,000 that were gathered, plus women and children, I'm guessing that meant there was a huge amount of people gathered. I have enough trouble sometimes trying to count how many of you are here on Sunday morning during the service. So trying to count 5,000 people plus women and children would have been an amazing feat had they actually done it. I think actually what it says is there was a large group of people gathered. There's nothing in the passage to suggest that there were anybody from a non-Jewish background, but actually it would probably have just been those who were Jewish. And for them, it would have been a daily struggle to have enough to eat each day. So where I would have brought snacks to something like that, actually they probably wouldn't have been able to, because they would only just have enough to eat each day with nothing in reserve for emergencies. These 8 verses that we have of Matthew's, of feeding the 5,000, as I've said, is the only story that's repeated in all 4 Gospels outside of the Easter story. So there's something important being told to us in this encounter, which can be easy to miss if we just take it on the face value of feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What we have, if we include the reading before, in chapter 14, we have 2 feasts. One is for Herod's birthday, which would have been lavish and extravagant, and for all those in the household and family, food would have been overflowing, as would the drink. The other was with 5 loaves and 2 fish, which fed a crowd until they were full, with 12 baskets left over. Margaret Cooling compares these 2 feasts to being like a duel between Herod and Jesus, to see who has the greater power. She writes this: "Look at the power of a king can do," says Herod's actions. "I can imprison the voice of God that cried in the wilderness." "Look what the power of the King of Kings can do," says Jesus. "I can heal their sick." "Look what the power of a king can do," says Herod. "I can chain the voice of God that cried in the wilderness." "Look what the power of the King of Kings can do," says Jesus. "I can satisfy their hunger." "Look what the power of the king can do," says Herod. "I can silence the voice of God crying in the wilderness." "Look what the power of the King of Kings can do," says Jesus. "I am the voice of God, and I will not be silent." She writes that the miracle in the desert was more than a miracle. It was a message to Herod that actions speak louder than words. Yet the disciples, true to form, don't react in the best way. They saw what they didn't have, which was enough food to feed this large group of people. And how could they possibly feed this many people or find food for them to pay and pay for it in the local towns? In this account, there's no mention of where those 5 loaves and 2 fish come from, but it is all they have to offer. And that is enough for all of those who are present to be fed, more than fed, to be filled, to be satisfied. The Greek is ho, I haven't read this for a week because I wrote this last week, one moment. Hortazo, which means to be satisfied, to gorge, which means there's a supply of food in abundance. They weren't just fed, they were fed until they could eat no more, which for most would have been an incredibly unusual position to be in. This is the one time when Jesus doesn't teach those present that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like. because this encounter is about providing an extravagant abundance to feed the people, both spiritually and physically. I wonder whether we miss sometimes seeing God's extravagant abundance because we don't see what we have. Do we miss God being great because we don't notice it or see it? The disciples in this encounter saw a huge gap between a vast need at hand and the limitations of their own resources. If we look to and ask God to help us expand our own human limitations as to what can be done, then we too can see that amazing, extravagant abundance at work. We connect with God in many, many ways. And one of those mirrors what Jesus does in order to fill those who are hungry in our reading. In our act of remembering his death and resurrection, we gather together, as we will do later, to share communion. In this encounter, Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and shares it. And we too will gather and do that later today. We will take the bread, bless it, break it, and share it. Which means we too can taste that extravagant abundance together this morning through the breaking of bread. And if anyone is hungry after talk of all that food, the bread and the fishes, there's probably a slightly bruised banana in my bag. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.